Hi, we are the Good Ship Illustration and we run online courses to help illustrators and image makers navigate a creative career. We are Tanya,
Katie
and Helen.
We have about 70 years experience between us, each of us working in a different area of illustration.
This series is a special picture book series of podcast question and answer sessions. Right now the doors to the picture book course are open, so you can just Google the Good Ship picture book course and we should show up. But we'll pop a link in the description as well.
We've got a special Q&A on Wednesday on Instagram Live, haven't we?
Yes.
7 o'clock Wednesday. Turn up, ask all your questions there about the course or picture books, whatever.
Yeah. And if you want to make sure you get all the email reminders and stuff, just make sure you're getting our emails, which you can do on our website, thegoodshipillustration.com. Yeah, we'll see you there. Okay, so we've got a good, juicy question for you, Helen, here. And it's about... It's very short and sweet. It's tips for running workshops / school visits.
Ah, this is good though. I know it's a really short question, but the answer's really juicy to this. So one of the other ways that you can make money when you're starting out making picture books is to do school visits, if you're up for it. You know, it's not everybody's cup of tea. And I've never been pressured. I've never had a publisher ask me to do this. But I absolutely love school visits. And you can charge a bit of money. I mean, schools are not massively wealthy, so you don't make a huge amount, but it's really good fun. It's a good way of trying your new book idea out with kids and seeing what genuinely works with a group of kids and what doesn't. I just find it really good fun, but it's only good fun if you really set your boundaries, because it's so easy for everything to go completely wrong. And I remember in the early days when I first started doing it and didn't realize that boundaries are really, really important on school visits, things would happen. Like, I would turn up expecting to see, say, 4 classes of 30 children. And I'd think, well, what could go wrong? That'll be fine. And then I'd get there and they would forget they'd organised an author come in, and there'd be no tech person to set up the slides. And, you know, because I'm a Mac person and schools are not Mac people, are they? They're all PCs. And then they'd say, oh, by the way, we're just having an assembly. Would you mind just talking to all 400 children in one go? And having never done it before, I'd be like, I'll give it a go. I mean, I have to say it was good in the long run, because I really learned how to do it. And the first ones I did were pretty rubbish, but you very, very quickly learn what works and what doesn't work. But it's way, way easier if you say, you know, when you're first starting out, you might only want to see 30 children at a time. So you just lay out that, like, I'll see 30 children at a time. I'll do 45 minutes and then I'll need a break. And I like to have the break by myself without the children coming in, because by then you're so tired. You really, really need some of your own space to have a little break. What other things do I ask for? I ask never to be left alone with the children, because in the UK, you don't actually need an author doesn't need to have a background check, but you must never be left alone with children. Sometimes the schools are so hectic, they forget that. And what other things? I've written a little list of all the other things that I tell them before I arrive. Or yeah, I tell them what I need. I'll need a flip chart and paper and pens that do work.
I like this, you said, provide a child to help carry my stuff.
Yes, because I usually turn up with a suitcase full of things, because I've got this lovely old-fashioned suitcase with stickers all over it. And so not only are you a new person arriving in the class who's not a teacher, but you have a mysterious suitcase and they get very excited. But often you've asked for a flip chart stand and paper, and then they expect you to carry your suitcase, your backpack and your flip chart from class to class. So I always ask if there can be a couple of children who are my helpers all day. And of course the children love being your helpers, so that's good.
What do you ask them to call you?
Oh, yeah, I set boundaries with the as well as with the teachers about what I need. Then when I arrive in the class, I set boundaries with the children. So I always say, so while I'm here today, you can call me Helen, and we're going to have a practice at being really noisy. But when I do this, and this is a podcast so you can't see, but I basically sweep my hands out in front of me like, stop, silence. I said, when I do that, you all have to be quiet. So let's have a practice, so that I teach them when we can go chaotic and crazy and when I need them to be really quiet. Otherwise, you end up shouting and by the end of the day, you can't speak anymore.
That must be really hard for, you know, illustrators who've not had any experience of the classroom situation to go into a school cold.
Yeah, I found it really hard. It took me a while to realise that if I didn't set up those boundaries, by the time I went home, I thought I was going to die of exhaustion. It was just so tiring.
I bet. Yeah. Because children, especially when they're excited,
yeah,
they'll just be like,
oh, they're so excited and they're all shouting out and you draw something there and they're all screaming. It's chaos. And it's brilliant as long as you can just shut them up when you need them to be quiet so you can do a quiet bit.
But children enjoy that as well, don't they? The structure, they're like, I'm looking out for it.
They love it. They need it. They need it. Nobody enjoys it when it just goes into chaos. The other thing I do is I break my 45 minutes into 5-minute sections. So I'll do this for 5 minutes, then this, and then I have a couple of extra 5-minute activities up my sleeve in case we get through it fast, or I can leave some out if we have a particularly fun class that we end up talking about crazy things there. Dads have done and stuff like I love all those stories that you hear.
All the secrets.
Oh, I love all the secrets. They make me so happy. They're so funny. And a recent one I did, completely out of the blue, totally dry, hadn't spoken to me at all. This little girl said, guess what I'm allergic to? And I said, I can't guess. You'll have to tell me. And she said, what's it? Walnuts. Amazing.
What do you think is beginning with a double E?
I love those chats. I love those chats. And I feel like it feeds my work. So although it's tiring, as long as you set all the boundaries in place so that the schools know what they need to do for you, and when you're in the class, the children know what you expect of them, they're really, really good fun. They're brilliant.
Will you do a kind of guide to this in one of our courses?
I would love to do that. I'm going to do that. We'll do it. We'll put it in the picture book course and we'll put it in the business course. Yeah. A guide on what to charge, what you need to tell the school before you go.
A checklist.
Yeah. Be so handy, wouldn't it?
So good.
I wish somebody had told me that on my first school visits.
Because
I didn't know I had any power in it. So I was just like, hello, I'm here. You tell me what to do. But then you kind of get used a bit too much or it just goes.
And also the schools are so busy, they don't have time to be like, well, actually, this would be really useful. So if you show up like the expert that you are.
Yeah, that's what you need to do.
Yeah.
That'd be
so good.
Can you just tell us about the sticker bit?
Oh, yes, I always take stickers. So what I realised after my first few visits is you go in the class and you say, oh, I'm Helen Stevens and I write children's books. They immediately forget your name and they think you wrote all the books in the world because they're kids and they're brilliant. So what I do at the end of every visit now is every single child that I've seen gets a little sticker that has the cover of my book on it. So when they get home, their parents know who visited the school. Yeah. So I get them all to line up before, as we're saying goodbye, and I go around to each one and stick a little sticker on the jumper. And you know, I love doing that as well because some of them are scared of stickers, so you have to be a little bit careful. And then some of them just want you to put stickers over their entire uniform, and I go with that because that's so hilarious. Oh, yeah, so stickers. You can't go wrong with stickers.
I've got a picture of in my head of you as Prince Philip shaking the hands all the famous people.
I have to tell you about one I did on stage the other day. So at the end of the performance, this is in a theatre, 400 overexcited 6-year-olds. It was so much fun. And they had a riot. Me and the author had a riot. It was so much fun. And as we left the stage, we had to go into the audience and like through by the side of the audience up the stairs to the door at the back of the theatre. And all these 6-year-olds all put their hands out like we were like rock stars. So as we went along, we were like hitting all these little hands.
But do you feel like a sports person?
And they're all screaming, you're a brilliant drawer, Helen. I love you, Helen.
They're so good. So funny.
You're just tiny little 6-year-olds.
You'll never so replicate funny. That thrill again.
Oh, it's so delightful.
You know what it is?
It's so funny.
The children will have felt the same thrill that I met Helen Stevens. I touched her hand.
Because remember, there would always be a kid in class who wanted to be close to the visitor and wanted to be favourited by the visitor. So they've got a lot of motivation.
Yeah. There's always one when you're in a class. It's usually a little girl who sits, like they'll sit down right beside your legs, right beside them. And while you're talking, they stroke your legs. There's always one.
My child does that at the library when we go to nursery rhyme time. Sits on the lady reading the nursery rhymes.
Oh, I love that. It's so lovely, isn't it?
You've picked the right career. It's just perfect, isn't it?
Oh, I love it. I love it. Yeah. But you need all the boundaries in place. Same when you do theatre visits and book festivals and all of that. You need to tell them what you need.
Yeah.
Otherwise you get there and it's just a disaster. I went to one book festival. I won't say which one, but it's a very big famous one that everybody wants to do. And they invited me along. I'd just won the day before the Dundee Picture Book Award, so I was on a high. And they flew me down to the Hay Festival.
Oh, you said it.
Oh, sorry. Maybe we should beep it. No, well, it's true. So we don't need to beep out. And it was kind of 20 years ago. So they've sorted their act out.
The person who was working on the bit that made
they'll be gone.
Yeah, they've gone. They probably died.
And they gave me some nice foot cream to say sorry for this. But I flew down to the festival and they'd not put me on the itinerary. So there were only two children there. And one of the children had an absolute meltdown and just cried during the whole thing. And it was pouring down.
Oh, no.
Oh,
what a come down from winning an award.
All that travelling for two children, one of whom was crying the whole time. And then I went home.
I would want more than foot cream.
Oh, they gave me foot cream and a box of champagne, like lots of bottles of champagne in a box. Oh, I couldn't carry them because I was getting the train home. It was too heavy. So I just had to leave them.
What a fiasco.
Oh, yeah.
I suppose that's... Because you couldn't really control that, could you? That's just them.
Well, I actually do now say, if you're inviting me, please share it on social media. I'll share your things. Don't forget to tag me.
That's
if
good.
I share something, please share it back. Don't forget to put me on the itinerary.
Really? That is so good to have those boundaries. Because you're right. I suppose knowing that you have that power.
It takes
magic.
A huge amount of effort to do those things. And if they don't put the effort in back, it's just demoralising.
What's your rider? Asda crisps.
It should be. That's going on.
Three
there.
Different flavours.
Marmite crisps.
Family size bag, please.
Can I ask two questions? Right. One is a really hardcore money question. What kind of thing do they pay? How much do they
book
pay?
Book festivals pay hardly anything. Like, you're lucky if you get 100 quid. So if you're doing it, you're doing it for the publicity of promoting your book. They pay you hardly anything, but the publisher pay for the hotel and they pay for your travel. And sometimes I've asked for more and they will pay me more, but you might as well. You're doing it because you've got a new book out and you get all the chat around you being at that particular festival.
So the social media reciprocation is super important.
Yeah.
And if there's any reporters there, have interviews. And
yeah. Sometimes they send photographers and take pictures. Sometimes they forget or double book you with another festival I went to that I put a lot of effort into. I got there and there was supposed to be a clown on after me and something happened. And it was the time all the kids come out of school and walk past this festival and I was on. So I said yes, because I thought, brilliant, really big crowd. For some reason, the clown couldn't go on after, so he was in a tent beside me at the same time, so virtually all the kids went in there.
Oh no!
Yeah.
You lost to a choir.
So, clown. If you do it, you're really doing it at your own risk, and you can ask to make sure everything's done properly, but still it doesn't always happen.
Okay, so how about our poor schools? And there's probably a difference between what an independent school can afford and what a government school can afford.
And it'll be different on what level of your career you're in as well, I suppose, won't it?
I guess so, yeah. And I think the more experienced you are, so on my website, I do have a school visit on there at the moment that is just a virtual school visit because it's so time consuming to travel to a school and do a visit. I do them really rarely now, even though I love them, because they can be really hard work and there's a lot of traveling. It's like,
yeah,
do you want to do it or not?
And we don't live in the best place for accessing all those schools, do we?
So what I would do is really lay out on my website all of the years of experience I've got, what they can expect of me, what I expect of them, what educational level my workshops are good for. When I say workshops, that makes it sound very educational, and they're mostly silly. And loads and loads of reviews. And then I'll charge sort of £350, £400, £450 for school visits. But most schools can't afford it.
Mm.
So now and again, I'll do one for free. Or lots of people.
You've got a virtual one, isn't it?
So yeah, that's why I have a virtual school visit there now, because you want all schools to be able to experience it. But the next best thing is a virtual school visit. What's going to say? Oh, yeah, this is a really good thing lots of people do. And if I was about to really go in for school visits again, I would do this. Is they say, you visit a private school where they'll pay you properly. You might get £450, £500 for a day, but you ask them to invite in a local public school so that
everybody
benefits from it.
That's cool.
Which is a really good idea.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So it's not just them getting the good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. But don't do a school visit for unless you're really promoting a book and you're desperate to do it and you love playing with children, don't do it for £100 or something.
It's too much work.
It's too much work.
Even if you lived around the corner, that's you might as well get a, I don't know.
Of course, the exception is your own kids' school.
Yeah, of course I've done pie schools for free for years until now she's 15 and does not want me to visit anymore, of course. But yeah, I've done all her schools for free. And I have a favourite school, Stannington School in Northumberland, who I would always do because they're so gorgeous. The teachers are very excited about it. They've worked with them beforehand. They always do everything you need. They give me a nice quiet classroom at lunchtime with a really good lunch.
Nice.
So yeah, I've got my pet schools.
That's got to be an important part. If so, if they've done a lead up and the kids know the book and they're really familiar with it, do they usually do that, or do you come in cold and you read, and they don't know who you are?
It's a mix, and it doesn't really make much difference. The fun thing is, like, it doesn't make much difference because I'll read the book and at certain points I'll say, "What do you think will happen next?" And so whether they've read it or not, half of the children will have forgotten it anyway. So they'll shout out something ridiculous, you know. It doesn't really make a big difference, except that having the teachers very engaged and not marking homework while you're doing it, because sometimes that happens. Or sometimes teachers chat at the back of the class and kids turn around and look at them while you're trying to do your thing.
Because the kids know better. How rude.
So having a school where the teachers are really engaged, it's brilliant. Because if the teacher is sat on the floor with the kids and putting their hand up with the kids, that's just incredible. Because the kids then just join in. They know their teacher is relaxed.
Yeah.
And they go with it. Where if you've got a really strict teacher, often the kids are, you ask them a question and they're all silent and they turn slowly, look at their teacher like, are we allowed to answer? That's really sad. Yeah. It
shows the value of a good teacher.
Have you ever done kind of workshops at museums or at big bookshops? You know how a lot of children's book illustrators, I know Marion Deschars does it at, you know, various kind of events and museums, that they'll do a big workshop painting and drawing.
I have. They're a mixed bag as well. Okay. So my experience of a bookshop visit has always been pretty, well, you can't guarantee a crowd. Yeah. Even if you do it at school leaving time, how many are you going to get in? If you've got a new book out and it's really worth it, do it. But a bookshop, I don't think I've ever been paid by a bookshop. If it's a really, really popular bookshop with lots of customers, with really engaged managers, you know, like an indie bookshop, it's worth it. Sometimes I'll go in and paint a window. I'll be there all day and sign books while I'm painting the window. That's good fun. But it's usually for free, so you need to have a new book out. Museums.
They're kind of the same
as a book festival, except usually a school, a museum have sold tickets in advance, so you've got a guaranteed audience, which is good. And you need to tell the museum what you need for your little workshop. I've done bookshop visits before where they've said to me, will you come in on Saturday morning and be there for an hour? And I get there, no children will be there. And there might be one in the picture book section that, You go, would you like to come and talk to me? So I don't know. If there's an event around a bookshop with a sign in afterwards, that's more successful.
And probably if a publisher has arranged a kind of marketing agent to set something up and they really want to push it.
Yeah, I remember once my publisher set up a little bookshop tour. So I had a new book out and we did a tour of bookshops all in one day. That was really good because it was all one day. It was really concentrated. Each bookshop had a massive stack of books. I've done museum visits before where I've forgotten to say to them, make sure my books are in the shop. Because you think, well, of course they're going to do that.
Yeah.
You get there, you do your event and there's no books in the shop. So nobody can even go and buy one. So you've really got to be on it, telling them exactly what you need and never assume.
I was going to say, don't assume things are obvious. Yeah. I suppose because bookshop people are busy running the bookshop, aren't they? And they're not going to, they might miss that, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you tell us as well about, do you remember the event that you set up in the town hall? We invented it. I thought this was such a brilliant idea.
Oh, we had such a good day that day. So when I wrote How to Hide a Lion, I'd just moved to our little seaside town of Berwick. And when I moved here, I got the idea for How to Hide a Lion because this is a really silvery grey town with silvery grey stone walls and buildings, and we get these sea mists that come in and it's really silvery. And I'd been drawing the town a little bit to try and make myself feel at home here. And one day after doing this drawing, I thought, you need something yellow in amongst all this grey. What if it was a lion? And so then I wrote How to Hide a Lion. And then when it came out, I thought, that in How to Hide a Lion, you can see Berwick Town Hall in the book. And I thought, wouldn't it be good to have a launch in the town hall? So the town hall costs nothing for a day, does it?
It's like cheap as chips.
50 quid or something for a whole day or something.
It's a bit more than that now. Is it more? Still in the grand scheme of things, yeah. It's affordable.
This was like 15 years ago, and it cost nothing to hire the town hall. So we hired the town hall. I should describe the town hall. It's like an ancient guild hall, isn't it?
Yeah. Stone big old pointy building right at the end of the high street. Steps.
Everyone thinks it's a church because it's got a big old spire. It's not like you'd think of a town hall.
It's got a big clock
south.
On it that's usually got the wrong time.
Yeah. There's prison cells upstairs. Prison cells upstairs where they used to imprison smugglers because we're a fishing town. It's really interesting building.
It's such a good place to hold up.
Hired the town hall. And then in the week up to the launch party, I visited every single school in Berwick. I can't remember how many that is, but maybe 6 or 10 schools. And in every school, every single child made a house in Berwick. And I gave them all the same colour palette so that when they put them all together, they would look right. Because Berwick has a real distinct colour palette, doesn't
it? Yeah.
Orange roof tiles, and then some houses have blue roof tiles and these silvery grey walls. I bought some Habitat wallpaper that looked like silvery grey walls, and they all had to stick that on their houses. And lots of schools made little fishing boats out of cardboard. So every child's object was really beautiful. And then on the launch party, we brought every single object together, which was hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them, and we made them into Berwick. So we put the river through with all the boats on and all the houses and the town hall. Oh, it was incredible. It was really good. And then in those school visits, I'd rehearsed with all the children, when you go home tonight, tell them there's a party at the town hall and you really want to go. What do you have to say to your parents? And they would all say it back. And we got huge, huge amount of children there. My publisher came along and we had stacks of books to sign. My mum made cakes. We served cakes and tea. It was so much fun. It was brilliant.
Have you got photos still?
I will have somewhere on an old phone. Yeah. It was amazing.
You should post them on your Instagram. I'd love to see.
I will. I'll dig them out.
That's genius. That's got to be the best book launch, social outreach child event ever.
It was really good. Genius. Yeah, it was brilliant. Good party.
Do you think your next books as well ought to be a collection of all the weird things children have ever asked you? That would make such a great book, wouldn't it?
That would be so good. Have we used up our entire podcast time talking about this?
It's worth it.
I'm obsessed with this subject.
So, well, on to the next one, next set of questions.
Yeah, next set of questions tomorrow, tomorrow's podcast.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's do it. Okay. So is this, at the end of that one?
Yeah. Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.